30 minutes to wait until boarding. Shadow bought a slice of pizza and burned his lip on the hot cheese. He took his change and went to the phones. Called Robbie at the Muscle Farm, but the machine answered.
Hey, Robbie. They tell me that Laura's dead. They let me out early. I'm coming home.
Then, because people do make mistakes, he'd seen it happen, he called home and listened to Laura's voice.
Hi, I'm not here or I can't come to the phone. Leave a message and I'll get back to you. And have a good day.
Shadow couldn't bring himself to leave a message. He sat in a plastic chair by the gate and held his bag so tight he hurt his hand. He was thinking about the first time he had ever seen Laura. He hadn't even known her name then. She was Audrey Burton's friend. He had been sitting with Robbie in a booth at Chi-Chi's, talking about something, probably how one of the other trainers had just announced she was opening her own dance studio, when Laura had walked in a pace or so behind Audrey, and Shadow had found himself staring. She had long chestnut hair and eyes so blue, Shadow mistakenly thought she was wearing tinted contact lenses. She had ordered a strawberry daiquiri and insisted that Shadow taste it, and laughed delightedly when he did. Laura loved people to taste what she tasted. He had kissed her goodnight that night, and she had tasted of strawberry daiquiris, and he had never wanted to kiss anyone else again. A woman announced that his plane was boarding, and Shadow's row was the first to be called. He was in the very back, an empty seat beside him. The rain pattered continually against the side of the plane. He imagined small children tossing down dried peas by the handful from the skies. As the plane took off, he fell asleep. Shadow was in a dark place, and the thing staring at him wore a buffalo's head, rank and furry with huge wet eyes. Its body was a man's body, oiled and slick.
"Changes are coming,"
said the buffalo without moving its lips.
"There are certain decisions that will have to be made."
Firelight flickered from wet cave walls.
"Where am I?"
"In the earth, and under the earth,"
said the buffalo man.
"You are where the forgotten wait."
His eyes were liquid black marbles, and his voice was a rumble from beneath the world. He smelled like wet cow.
"Believe. If you are to survive, you must believe."
"Believe what? What should I believe?"
He stared at Shadow, the buffalo man, and he drew himself up huge and his eyes filled with fire. He opened his spit-flecked buffalo mouth and it was red inside with the flames that burned inside him, under the earth.
"Everything,"
roared the buffalo man. The world tipped and spun, and Shadow was on the plane once more, but the tipping continued. In the front of the plane, a woman screamed half-heartedly. Lightning burst in blinding flashes around the plane. The captain came on the intercom to tell them that he was going to try and gain some altitude to get away from the storm. The plane shook and shuddered, and Shadow wondered coldly and idly if he was going to die. It seemed possible, he decided, but unlikely. He stared out of the window and watched the lightning illuminate the horizon. Then he dozed once more and dreamed he was back in prison, and Loki had whispered to him in the food line that someone had put out a contract on his life, but that Shadow could not find out who or why, and when he woke up, they were coming in for a landing. He stumbled off the plane, blinking and waking. All airports, he had long ago decided, looked very much the same. It doesn't actually matter where you are in an airport. Tiles and walkways and restrooms, gates and newsstands and fluorescent lights. This airport looked like an airport. The trouble is, this wasn't the airport he was going to. This was a big airport with way too many people and way too many gates. The people had the glazed, beaten look you only see in airports and prisons.
"If hell is other people,"
thought Shadow,
"then purgatory is airports. Excuse me, ma'am."
The woman looked at him over the clipboard.
"Yes?"
"What airport is this?"
She looked at him puzzled, trying to decide whether or not he was joking. Then she said,
"St. Louis."
"I thought this was the plane to Eagle Point."
"It was. They redirected it here because of the storms. Didn't they make an announcement?"
"Probably. I fell asleep."
"You'll need to talk to that man over there, in the red coat."
The man was almost as tall as Shadow. He looked like the father from a 70s sitcom, and he tapped something into a computer and told Shadow to run to a gate on the far side of the terminal. Shadow ran through the airport, but the doors were already closed when he got to the gate. He watched the plane pull away from the gate through the plate glass. Then he explained his problem to the gate attendant, calmly, quietly, politely, and she sent him to a passenger assistance desk where Shadow explained that he was on his way home after a long absence and his wife had just been killed in a road accident and that it was vitally important that he went home now. He said nothing about prison. The woman at the passenger assistance desk, short and brown with a mole on the side of her nose, consulted with another woman and made a phone call.
Nope, that one's out. They've just canceled it.
Then she printed out another boarding card.
This will get you there. We'll call ahead to the gate and tell them you're coming.
Shadow felt like a pea being flicked between three cups, or a card being shuffled through a deck. Again, he ran through the airport, ending up near where he had gotten off in the first place. A small man at the gate took his boarding pass.
We've been waiting for you,
he confided, tearing off the stub of the boarding pass with Shadow's seat assignment, 17D, on it. Shadow hurried onto the plane, and they closed the door behind him. He walked through first class. There were only four first-class seats, three of which were occupied. The bearded man in a pale suit seated next to the unoccupied seat at the very front grinned at Shadow as he got onto the plane, then raised his wrist and tapped his watch as Shadow walked past.
Yeah, I'm making you late,
thought Shadow.
Let that be the worst of your worries.
The plane seemed pretty full as he made his way down toward the back. Actually, Shadow quickly discovered it was completely full, and there was a middle-aged woman sitting in seat 17D. Shadow showed her his boarding card stub, and she showed him hers. They matched.
Can you take your seat, please?
Asked the flight attendant.
No, I'm afraid I can't. This lady is sitting in it.
She clicked her tongue and checked their boarding cards, then she led him back up to the front of the plane and pointed him to the empty seat in first class.
Looks like it's your lucky day.
Shadow sat down.
Can I bring you something to drink?
She asked him.
We'll just have time before we take off, and I'm sure you need one after that.
I'd like a beer, please. Whatever you got.
The flight attendant went away. The man in the pale suit in the seat beside Shadow put out his arm and tapped his watch with his fingernail. It was a black Rolex.
You're late,
said the man, and he grinned a huge grin with no warmth in it at all.
Sorry?
I said you're late.
The flight attendant handed Shadow a glass of beer. He sipped it. For one moment, he wondered if the man was crazy, and then he decided he must have been referring to the plane, waiting for one last passenger.
Sorry if I held you up. You in a hurry?
The plane backed away from the gate. The flight attendant came back and took away Shadow's beer, half-finished. The man in the pale suit grinned at her and said,
Don't worry, I'll hold on to this tightly.
And she let him keep his glass of Jack Daniels while protesting weakly that it violated airline regulations.
Let me be the judge of that, my dear. Time is certainly of the essence, but no, I am not in a hurry. I was merely concerned that you would not make the plane.
That was kind of you.
The plane sat restlessly on the ground, engines throbbing, aching to be off.
Kind my ass. I've got a job for you, Shadow.
A roar of engines. The little plane jerked forward into a takeoff, pushing Shadow back into his seat. Then they were airborne, and the airport lights were falling away below them. Shadow looked at the man in the seat next to him. His hair was a reddish-gray. His beard, little more than stubble, was grayish-red. He was smaller than Shadow, but he seemed to take up a hell of a lot of room. A craggy, square face with pale gray eyes. The suit looked expensive and was the color of melted vanilla ice cream. His tie was dark gray silk, and the tie pin was a tree, worked in silver, trunk branches and deep roots. He held his glass of Jack Daniels as they took off and did not spill a drop.
Aren't you going to ask me what kind of job?
How do you know who I am?
The man chuckled.
Oh, it's the easiest thing in the world to know what people call themselves. A little thought, a little luck, a little memory. Ask me what kind of job.
No.
The attendant brought him another glass of beer, and he sipped at it.
Why not?
I'm going home. I've got a job waiting for me there. I don't want any other job.